Welcome to Creative Direction. This podcast was created to celebrate the courage it takes to become an entrepreneur. And we discover how working artists and creatives are making their way. As entrepreneurs, many of us had the desire, but not the roadmap. Creative Direction is meant to explore the diverse voices and approaches to working and making a living. It is our hope that this podcast helps provide some insights that might aid you on your own creative journey. I'm excited to welcome my co-host for this episode, Elijah Teague. He is also our producer and editor for Creative Direction. We start this season with Jen Brown of Jen Brown Makeup. She's a freelance makeup artist and entrepreneur adapting her business in a time of a global pandemic. Welcome to Creative Direction. Jen, did I describe you well, or how
that
would you describe yourself?
The nicest thing anyone's ever said. So yeah, I would say so.
Well,
that's perfect.
Everyone I talk to has wonderful things to say about you. I always bring up your name with people and they're like, you know, oh, Jen Brown, I know her. She's great.
That's so sweet. That really means a lot. I feel like I'm going to cry. I'm like so overly emotional now. I'm like, oh my God.
Jen, it's only like 30 seconds into this already.
I know, so. You're like, maybe this is a bad idea. No, I'm excited. I'm excited to talk to you. Thanks for inviting me.
Oh, we're glad to have you. You know, we can jump right in too. Tell me, I mean, did I do a good job describing what you do? Like, tell me who kind of industries you kind of work with. And
yeah, so I'm just a freelance hair and makeup artist in Chicago primarily. So I do a lot of print, commercial, corporate stuff, corporate videos, things like that. I also do weddings. Weddings are probably about 30% of my business. So, yeah, that's what I do.
Yeah. How long have you been doing that?
I started practicing in 2006. I was 19, so I was a baby. But so I've just kind of been running and gunning ever since.
Yeah. How did you get started? Did you just like, you're like, I'm here, like, let's do this. I've got makeup.
Yeah. Right. Totally. No, I, you know, kind of. I mean, initially after high school, I didn't have any college prep. My parents weren't like, oh, you have to go to college. You have to do this. So I didn't think about it until my senior year of high school. And I was like, oh, maybe I should like go to school or something. And so I went to Columbia College in Chicago, but I only went for a year. I went for fine art and I didn't fully connect with the school and it was just so expensive. I took out a massive loan to pay for it and I'm still paying it back. And, you know, so after that year, I was like, oh, okay, but I'm going to do something else. Or I'm going to figure out something else. I'm going to quit school. I don't know. So after a year, I kind of like left and my sister, especially is big on education. You know, Rachel.
Yeah, I do.
So she's
like, what are you doing with your life?
Yeah, she's like, don't you think you should like go to school for something else? Or like, isn't there anything else that you're like curious about? And when I was at my 1 year at Columbia, I took a puppetry class, which is super random.
Very cool.
Part of the our final for that class is you have to participate in Manifest, which is Columbia College's like big senior parade at the end of the year. And when we were getting ready for this parade, like we're all dressing up and we have our puppets and like our big sculptures that we've made. And there was a makeup artist there to get us ready. And
cool.
I had no idea that a makeup artist even existed up until that point. I didn't know that was a job. I didn't know that that was something you could do. I just kept asking her questions. And then I was like, okay. So then when I left Columbia, I was like, maybe I should try makeup. That sounds cool.
That's amazing.
That interested me. Yeah. And so I took some courses and I just felt like I connected to it because I have that fine art background. I used to paint and do sculpture work and do all kinds of things. So color and light and all that stuff kind of came naturally to me because I already got it. So yeah, I mean, I wasn't great, obviously.
Well, yeah, start somewhere, right?
Yeah, pretty bad. Like looking back, it's pretty funny. And I'm sure you look back at your old photos and you're like, oh God, I can't show
anybody. Yeah, I have there's a lot of creepy, you know, stuff I did in college that I thought I wouldn't show anyone.
You're being really artsy and then you're like, actually, let's just burn these for forever.
Yeah, I was like, oh yeah, cool. I hit every cliche. I took a lot of pictures of my hands and
gross. Oh yeah. I've got those kinds of things too. Like yeah. My own, yeah, with makeup, it's like, okay, yeah, we're gonna, that was a learning curve that I overcome.
Cool. So you, did you just like run into the industry or did you assist other people or like, how did that?
Starting out, yeah. I mean, starting out, I had like a lot of random jobs. So a lot of Craigslist jobs. I was waitressing. Yeah. I was doing anything I could do to make money to pay rent. And then on the side, I was on Model Mayhem because that was a thing.
Yeah. Still is a thing, kind of.
Really?
Yeah.
So weird.
It still exists.
So I was on Model Mayhem. I hope my profile still isn't out there. It's, that would be really bad.
Remember, pretty cool, cool time machine, right?
Yeah. I should search for myself later. But yeah, Model Mayhem, and I was just kind of finding, trying to connect with people, doing a lot of like test shoots and things to kind of build my portfolio and figure out what I liked. So, you know, the first couple of years is always like a lot of free stuff, or like maybe you get $25 or $50 for a kit fee kind of thing here and there. But ultimately, like, that's how you learn, is through experience. Like, I took some classes, yes, but I feel like I've learned the most from working with other artists, assisting other artists, learning on my own by practicing on people. I didn't do the retail thing. Like, a lot of makeup artists usually work in retail, but I, like, not a salesperson. It's not in my blood.
Yeah,
I tried it. Right? Like, it's like soul sucking. I tried
like
it.
Makeup counter situation.
Mm. Holy smokes. I was like, oh, I really don't want to do it. And I was really, I needed some extra cash. And this girl I knew was like, you should, like, Too Faced, a makeup company is hiring. You should try it. And I was like, okay. And I did that for like 2 weeks and I like cried every day. And I was like, I got it. Can't do it. But if you can, it's a great way to practice on people, play with products, and really like learn as much as you can. I just didn't, I managed to make things like longer and harder for myself. That's usually the course I take.
Well, there's not always like a direct path for everyone. I mean, I me pretty well. Like I didn't take a direct path to freelancing either. You know, I was in house for 6.5 years, basically the makeup counter of photography.
Right. Yeah, it's true. It is. It's the same deal.
Where someone pays you to learn and learn well, you know, but like still.
You're perfecting that skill.
I cried every day too.
Yeah. No, it's, yeah, it wasn't for me. But yeah, so I kind of just started testing and trying to build a network and meet as many people as I could. Because honestly, it's truly, like, I think one of your questions was, is it what you know or who you know? And ultimately, unfortunately, I really feel like it's who you know. I mean, yeah. I think if you're really, I think now with the accessibility and the availability of social media and all these outlets to put your work out and for people to see it, that goes a long way. But back then, it's like, you just have to try and meet as many people as you can and put your work in place. And
I think that's an aspect that I'm really curious about because, you know, I'm about to finish college soon. And I feel like my education is sort of at the level that I'm comfortable with, and my skill set is like at the level that I'm comfortable with. But I feel like my network and like relationships kind of leave a lot to be desired there. So I was just wondering like what your approach is to kind of networking, creating relationships that benefit your endeavors. And then also like how have those approaches changed since the time that you're kind of kicking this business off to like now?
Oh my gosh, I feel like it's changed so much.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, because in the beginning, what I was doing was I was blind calling, essentially, like reaching out to people, just blind emailing. I didn't call people, really.
Yeah, no,
blind calling was like what you did in the 80s and 90s and then the early 2000s.
Yeah, no one used phones anymore in the early
2000s. It's blind email. And then now it's DMing. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, so I would just email people. I would answer. I would do like Craigslist ads for random things, or like the Model Mayhem thing. I would just find any sort of like networking source to reach out to people within my industry and just like reach out to anybody that I could. I would look at their work and be like, cool, this looks great. And I would just be like, hi, my name's Jen Brown. I'm a makeup artist here in Chicago and I would love to do a test shoot sometime. Da-da-da. Here's a link to my work. Right. And you just do that. You just reach out to as many people as you can. And some people will get back to you and be like, oh my God, for sure, let's do something. And some people will get back to you and say like, no, I'm good. And some people just don't respond at all. Right. So
I think we met at a friend's studio. We met at Aaron's studio.
I was trying to remember how we met.
I think that's how we met. I had heard of you before because like, I was like, because there was like, everyone loves your breath. But like we met at Aaron's studio. We were like hanging out in the parking lot.
Oh, yes, like, yes,
after
yes.
A shoot. Yeah. And I was like talking to you and you're like, you need to do it. You should just go take the leap. Come on, Russ. Like the first time I met you.
Oh, that was the first time you guys met?
Yeah, I know. I'm just very impulsive, though.
But I'm like
I have to leap before I look, you know?
I'm such a planner to a fault, too. So I need people like Jen, like, pushing me off the cliff.
And I need people like Russ to, like, rein me back in.
It's a balance.
We found a new partnership, right?
Yeah. I dream really big, and I'm like, no, I'm just going to do it. I'm just going to, like, move and change my life. And he's like, no, I think... Let's rethink this for a second.
In reality, it's probably somewhere in the middle, right?
Yeah. But who is balanced like that, really? I mean,
no one. That's why we have to have like diverse friends that are like tackle it from different options and things like that. That's
really good. I mean, for you, but for Ross, I remember talking to you about that because you had been doing what you're doing for so long.
Yeah.
You were at that place for a really long time, and you had been contemplating going on your own. And yeah. Like I said, I didn't have anything to give up. Yeah. You know, I was starting from nothing, and I came from nothing. Like, I didn't come from money. You know, I didn't have parents or anybody to lean on. I didn't have any sort of like anything to fall back on. Mm-hmm. And yeah. I didn't have like, I was like, I don't know what it's like to have health insurance. I don't know what it's like to have benefits or a regular paycheck, because everything I did was like gig jobs, just random things getting by. And, so it's easier for me to say, like, just do it. Just go for it. And you, on the other hand, you have to think about everything you're going to give up and how you're going to, like, make it work. And you want to make sure that you have saved enough money to, like, have that back. You know what I mean? You should have, like, a couple of months saved in case things are bad. And even, like, thank goodness I do that for myself, because in this current situation, you know, I'm better off than a lot of other people right now, because I've been doing this for so long that I've been very disciplined about always putting money away. Every time I get a check, I've always put it away into some sort of emergency fund or something, so that when something like this happens, or if you have a slow period, you're not scrambling and freaking out.
That was one of the things I learned from you too, is and a bunch of other people as well. And you know, I was lucky enough that I had a really good year before this happened, and had that safety net. You know, my heart goes out to a lot of people. It's changed how a lot of us work right now, even if you can work. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you're like up in people's business as a makeup artist. Like, you know, forget 6 feet, right? You know, like, how's that work now?
It's weird. I don't know yet. I haven't gone back to work.
I mean, we talked about it, you know.
Yeah, we've talked about it, and I've been thinking more about it, and I've been watching what other artists are doing. I'm kind of paying attention to what everybody's on. Everybody's kind of on social media sharing what they're doing, because nobody knows how to navigate this yet. We're all trying to figure it out, and everybody's freaked out and anxious about going back. And so artists that are going back, they're like, these are the things I'm doing. This is what I'm carrying. This is how I'm doing it. And it's really helpful because, you know, it's a weird situation. And I don't want to be responsible for contracting anything, passing anything on to anybody, you know, I want to be as responsible as I can to my community. And if that means that I have to not work for a little bit longer, then I'll do that. You know what I mean? Luckily, unemployment has sort of kind of been helping. So, you know, there's that, but it's going to be weird. It's going to be weird for sure. I mean, people are going back to work now, and they're wearing masks and shields. And I know that when I go back to work, I'm going to ask people not to speak with me, not to have a conversation with me while I'm working with them, and things I'll like that. So, and which is really going to be strange, because so much of my job is about personality.
That's one of the reasons I like having you on set, is because you kind of prime all the models like to be in a good mood, you know. I don't have to work that hard when they get to me, because you're talking to them the whole time. So like, Not that I wouldn't hire you because you can't talk to them, but like, you know, I mean, I imagine that's so a lot of the enjoyment for you is kind of meeting people and, you know.
Well, it's such like it's true for sure. I mean, it's such a vulnerable experience to have somebody touching your face mm-hmm. and to make you look a certain way. So, and a lot of the people that I work with is like real people. A lot of times it's not even models. It's a lot of like, you know, just everyday people getting their makeup done. So it's a weird experience and you kind of need to like make them feel loose and comfortable and know they're being taken care of. And so losing that aspect of the job is going to be a little strange. But I'm trying to like put it out there for people that do work with me. That's like, please, if you want to have like a Zoom call beforehand and we can chat, if you want to get like a vibe for my personality, or like if you want to ask any questions, we can do that, you know, beforehand. And then when I ask you to take your mask off, I'm just going to ask you to just, you know,
yeah.
That'll be weird for me too, because yeah, it's strange to have someone right in front of you and not to have a conversation.
Yeah, I think like as human beings, we all just want to connect to each other. And like, that's the weirdest thing about this whole COVID thing is there's so many barriers to connection that it's really strange. You know,
so strange.
I always forget that people can't see me smiling.
Yeah, I know.
And like, they're kind of, I'm like looking at them. They're kind of looking at me. It's like two dogs sniffing each other. It's weird. Like, oh, okay.
You're like, I'm smiling, just so you know.
I've had to say that. I think I need a sign that's like, hey, I'm smiling.
But you know what? Literally everybody feels that. It's like, it's such a strange, it's such a weird thing. But you can tell in their eyes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. No. If you try hard enough.
Cool. So weird.
So your traditional job is a little difficult right now, right? You know, but I know you've been doing some things. You've been doing a lot of stuff online on YouTube, on Instagram, all that stuff before COVID. But are you doing kind of more stuff right now that is interesting or like we should be talking about? Like,
oh, we should definitely be talking about it. I mean, as soon as this all kind of happened, you know, the first couple weeks I was kind of just hanging out because I was like, okay, well, you know, I think everybody was kind of like, okay, it'll be like a month and we'll go back to work.
Yeah.
And things just kept gradually taking longer and more kept progressing. So when it started to shift in that way, I was like, okay, I have to shift my business. I have to start figuring out a way. I just kind of went into survival mode.
Yeah.
That's just kind of how I've always been too. Like since I was 19, I'm like, I just am going to hustle. I'm going to meet people, go out there, do what I can. You know, it's like, you just have to hustle to get that ball rolling. So I was like, I'm going to have to shift my business. And I was always really, really into private lessons and working one-on-one with people. I love teaching makeup and I love having people connect with it because I think it's a really, it's complicated. I think that people have very big opinions about makeup and how they feel about it.
Yeah.
And it's always like, it's such a huge industry. It's shoved in our faces all the time with, you know, social media, and you're seeing all kinds of types of makeup, and some people are afraid of it. Some people are really into it. So I like to get people that are maybe a little timid about it or not sure, or maybe not totally confident, and to be able to like bring that to them and to source some sort of like comfort and confidence and excitement about it. So I love to teach that kind of stuff. And I decided to do it online, but private lessons are kind of tough to do online. And so I decided to transition that to group classes,
cool.
which I think are much more attainable mm-hmm. and much more affordable for people right now too, because it's a group, I can charge $25 a head as opposed to like way more than that for a personal lesson.
Right.
And you're still getting a lot out of it. You know what I mean? And it's kind of a community aspect too, because
can they all see each other?
That's
cool.
And initially I was like, mute everybody. And then I was like, no, this is like, it should be a conversational format. You know, like we all need this right now.
Yeah.
So everybody's on there. We introduce each other. Each class is very specific, and we just kind of like chat and have a good time. And people can follow along if they want. It's all done by demo, so I do it as they're doing it, and they can ask their questions. So I feel like people get a lot out of it. I think that it's starting to get a little bit of traction, which is pretty cool.
How did you initially reach out to these customers for this? Did you promote this through Instagram?
I did promote through Instagram and Facebook. Okay. I don't really pay for advertising. Occasionally I'll pay to like boost a post or something. Mm-hmm. But I just find that social media is the best route for me. And word of mouth is obviously the biggest one. That's how I've built my entire business and my entire brand, is just through working with people and having them say good things about me to other people, and then they want to work with me, and so on and so forth. I think that's ultimately how Ross and I started working together too.
Yeah.
Kind of like,
I heard of her and then I met her and then we're like, hey, let's do something cool together. Right.
Yeah.
I get this cool, weird thing. Let's, you know.
Well, yeah, it's like, you know, you kind of like, but you trust your friends, you trust the people you work with. So when you have someone saying like, oh, I met this really great stylist, or I know this really great videographer and you should meet them, like, then I'm like, okay, cool. Yeah. And you like actually want to put yourself out there and meet them and work with them. So
yeah. Is that, so you're, I mean, I don't know if this was you I was talking to, but my approach when I go on a job is, you know, I try to, there's jobs I don't want to do, right? There's things that are like, I'd rather maybe be playing with my puppy or something right now. But like, it's also kind of like a privilege, right? Where you're like, okay, these people invited me to do this thing that I'm really good at, that I love doing, you know? So I always kind of treat that as an opportunity to plant those seeds and kind of grow and be grateful for that opportunity to maybe at least extend the time that I could do this, perpetuate it. Is that kind of how you see it? It sounds like you've always seen what you do that way. Like, it's always an opportunity to build more opportunities. Is that fair, or is that like a?
No, I think that's fair to say. I think something that I've learned that's really important, that took me a really long time to learn, was that it's okay to say no to stuff. Because I think as you've said, like, you have people reaching out to you and it's a privilege, and you feel like, you know, trying to become a freelance artist is really difficult and it's challenging in so many ways. And so you don't want to say no to stuff, and you almost have like a guilt complex. I know that I did, to ever say no, or to ask for more, or to ask for your worth. And that, I think, is the hardest part about being an artist, especially like a creative person, because I think it's really hard to know what your worth is and how to know what that is, and how to ask for it, you know? And it's hard to say no to stuff, especially when you are freelance and you're like, ooh, I don't really, like, should I say yes or should I say no? Like, I need the work, you know, but the rate's really bad. And I think, honestly, you have to know yourself, know your worth, have some integrity. And if something isn't the right fit, it's okay to say no, and something better will come along. Mm. I think it's also important to say that, like, that took me years to do. I didn't say no in the beginning. I said yes to absolutely everything because I was learning and I was acclimating, and I was, you know, it was my opportunity to figure out what route I wanted to take. Did I want to do film? Did I want to do commercial? Did I want to do weddings? Like, so I had to say yes to everything so I could know exactly what I did and didn't want to do. So I just think it's really important, because also if you say yes to a job that you're not passionate about or excited about, like if it's not for like if I got asked to do something that was like no money or for free, depending on the job, like if it was something that I really cared about, I would be like, okay, yeah, I'll do it, like, for sure, you know? But if it's something that's like maybe a younger artist should take on, maybe it's something that's like less experienced, I would gracefully say, like, you know, this doesn't really work for me right now, but here are some other people that I think would be a good fit, you know, things like that. But because I think if you start doubting your worth and you sell yourself short, your name circulates in those circles and you keep getting asked for those jobs, right? You're not growing, you're not building. You're just kind of staying in one place. And I think that was me for a long time. I was saying yes to all kinds of stuff that didn't necessarily make sense for me to do.
Yeah, it's scary, right? Because you're like, oh, I got to eat. But like, I also, this is going to be horrible.
Yeah.
So much about being a freelancer is like believing in yourself and believing that it will be okay.
Yes.
I know that you know now, because I know that like the winter time can sometimes be scary for a lot of people, because winter gets really slow. Things slow down. And that's why it's like you have to save that money, put a chunk of your money away every time you get a check, put it into a special account. And then when the winter time comes, and maybe you're not getting as many jobs as you did in the spring and the summer, and then you have a little bit of cushion.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So you just have to plan for it, because you hustle, work really hard, and then you don't work so hard. So it's a weird balance, but you do get used to it.
Well, and then when I first started, I was saying yes to everything too. And then like I had a problem where like I'd get a higher paying job, you know, come in and be like, hey, do you want to come do this? And I'm like, I can't. I have to do this horrible job that I like.
Yes. Let me tell you,
that happened, anyway.
That happens so many times. And you know what? That's when you know, when that starts happening to you, that's when you know, like, okay, I have to start making a change.
Right. Because
there was one, I had a couple clients that were very consistent for me, but they paid very, very little.
Yes.
And it started competing with commercial jobs. It started getting full day rate jobs asking for me. And it got to a point where it was like, okay, now this is becoming a problem, because these are coming along more often and I have to keep saying no, because I'm already committed to something else. Mm-hmm. You know? So when that became very clear, I was like, I have to start saying no to those people, or telling them I need to replace myself if that opportunity happens.
Right.
And they have to be okay with it, or I just need to like stop taking those jobs altogether. And eventually I stopped taking them altogether and just kind of had to be like, oh, here we go. I hope that's cool. I hope that these people keep calling me, because I've just lost some clients.
But that's like, some people call it like firing your clients, right? But
yeah,
you know, it kind of goes, did you find when you actually started doing that, started saying no and accepting those, not to say better jobs, but you know, jobs that appreciated your value, where you could then advertise those jobs, right? And then get more jobs like that. Did that happen?
Yeah. Or? Well, and I feel like as soon as you make that leap, right, it's kind of like putting it out in the universe.
Yeah.
When you start saying yes to those things, start saying no to the other things, more of those things that you want, you're projecting all that energy out there and it comes back to you.
Yeah.
And the more you're doing those jobs, you know, the more your name circulates, the more your name's being passed. And
the easier it becomes to ask for that the real value that you have, right?
Yeah.
You know, like that rate doesn't seem that big. And you're like, oh, maybe I should double it.
You're like, actually, hold, yeah, right? And then they're like, and then no one calls.
And you're like, okay, yeah, let's go back down again. Maybe it's a little bit, you know, 10% more.
I know. It's, you know what? Rates are, I try to have a conversation with other artists about rates all the time, because we have to be on the same page about it. Because if you have someone at the same level as you charging $200 less than you,
you're like,
you're gonna get hired more. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they're poaching job. Like, it's just, that's not okay for the industry. You're bringing down the level, right?
Yeah.
Like, everybody kind of needs to be on the same.
Everyone wins if you're on the same wavelength, right? You know, because
everyone
everyone's
wins.
Charging
everyone
similar
wins.
Things. Gas stations do it. Why can't we do it?
Valid point. Now, you know, I just think it's important to, again, know your worth and know that it's okay. Like, I remember this was probably like 7 years ago or 8 years ago. I had a photographer tell me about an artist negotiating a rate. And I was like, oh, I can do that? Like, I didn't even know that I could do that. I just like said yes, or I would just say yes. Like, I would just take a job.
Right.
So pretty much, sure, I guess. I mean, that kind of sucks, but whatever. You know, like, well, I can ask for more.
The words usually I charge were like a revolution. You know, they're like,
yes.
I had actually had a job like recently, and I won't tell you what it was for, like an editorial thing, but like, they were like, they had, like, we don't have a budget at all, period. I'm like, well, this thing is 3 hours away. It's 200 miles of driving.
Oh my gosh.
Like, usually I charge.
Right.
A lot of money for this.
Right.
Can you just, it's a really interesting job. Can we just take care of some of the travel costs? No answer. You know, but then I had like time to work on marketing and stuff for my other job. So it's, you know, your time is your most valuable thing, right?
It totally is. I know. That's why I always think it's really funny. This happens a lot in my industry too, where people are like, well, it's just one guy. Like, how much would that cost? And it's like, well, it's still like a day.
I'm still there. Yeah.
Like, I'm still paying for my health insurance and my business insurance and my rent and like you know what I mean? Like, that's what's built into that rate. It's not just me trying to like pull a fast one on you. It's like, no, I have a lot of business expenses, and guess what? My kit is thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars.
Right. But not to mention all the experience and training and expertise, so that like I know 100% of the time when I call Jen Brown, I know you'll execute. You know, like there's no question.
Yeah.
That like we'll figure it out together.
Right. Well, it's like you know you're paying for like you know someone's going to show up on time. They're actually going to show up first of all. Sometimes that doesn't happen.
Really big, actually. You know, it's. I mean, photographers usually show up.
Usually, yeah. I've never had an experience where someone didn't show up, but you want to make sure someone shows up, they're on time, and you want to, you know, so all that stuff matters.
Yeah, when you have eventually, when you have the luxury to do it, because you've kind of set yourself up to do it, you can build that team. That's like if I can have Jen Brown on set, and then you know, Elijah as my assistant, and this kind of group of people that create that create like a really good experience for the client that keeps them coming back. Like that's cool, you know, when you can kind of employ other people or have other people on your team where they all come together to do the thing that they're meant to do that they really love doing. Like that's like the best part of being an entrepreneur.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's how I want to spend my day, right?
Yeah, exactly. I know. I was gonna mention that too. Like again with the who you know thing, because people want to work, like especially in this industry, we want to work with our friends. We want to work with people that we enjoy being around, because you're around them for 10, 12, 14 hours a day sometimes. Like
And sometimes you have to like get shit done, you know.
You want to make sure that people are capable of doing their job and doing it well and still able to have like a good attitude and good demeanor. Yeah.
Even when there's curveballs, because there always are, you know, and some of them are, I mean, clients are not, I wouldn't say they're unreasonable, but sometimes they don't know what they ask, you know, and like, you can't be like, dude, that's going to be a lot of fucking work. Like, you can't. You have to say, okay, that's going to be a challenge. Let's, let me talk to my makeup artist and see what we can do on that. And I'm like, Jen, come help me, Bill, fill me up.
Yeah, and then we can like quietly, you know.
Freak out.
I don't know if I'm allowed to swear, but you know, quietly.
I said three in like 30 seconds, so I think we're okay. It's my podcast, it's fine.
Oh my gosh. Quietly, you know, have a conversation about it.
Yeah, right.
Oh my gosh. I know. It's true. They don't understand what happens on the creative ends. I mean, that's why we're there.
That's why we're there, right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you took the words out of my mouth. We're here to make it happen. I mean, that's a good mentality to have. Do you have, like, this is kind of a fun thing to ask. Do you have, like, colleagues that you follow and, like, are inspired by?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I follow a ton of people. I mean, I follow a lot of local artists that I'm friends with and that work with a lot. And then of course I follow like the really, really big, 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 big artists, you know, it's always fun to see how they work, because every industry is different. Every city is different. So it's interesting to see how different artists pack their kits or how they're, you know, conducting themselves on set and like different things like that. But one of the people that I think about a lot, when I read this question too, is a very good friend of mine. And she's actually my bridal booker. So she books all my weddings for me, and her name's Nykavon, and she's a great artist. She was the one I trusted to do my wedding makeup, you know, like I trust her over anyone
else.
Wow.
I know. I never even thought I would get my makeup done. And I was like, all right, you can do it. She's a really, really talented person, but I admire her a lot because she's really good with business. And she's really just like, she's a doer. Like when she says she's going to do something, then the next day she's like, all right, I made up a contract and I did this and I did, you know, and I'm like, oh my God. Yeah. She just kind of like, cause I say a lot of stuff and then like, think, you know, time passes, you know, and then nothing happens.
I have the same thing, and I'm trying to reduce that threshold to action, right?
Yes.
Because I should all the time.
And I know. I like
shit all over myself, which is
it's yeah, hard. Yeah. Definitely. It's like sometimes I'm really good at it. Like when I have to, like when COVID hit, now it's like, okay, I have to shift my business online. I created a class schedule. I created a website. I put it all out there, you know, and it was done. But otherwise, like 10 years ago, I was like talking about starting a YouTube channel, and did I do it? No, not until, you know, 2 months ago did I start it, you know?
Yeah.
So, but she's really good about that stuff. And she's always self-educating. And anytime I have a business inquiry or want to talk stuff out, she's usually the first person I call. So I always think about her when I.
Yeah, I have a lot of friends that are like that. I mean, I kind of joked about doubling my rates before, but when I was starting out, I had a buddy that, not even in photography, he sold parts for like Japanese auto companies. So he's good at negotiating.
Yeah.
And like, I was sitting there in our coffee shop with him, and I was like, hey man, can you look at this estimate and see like if my rates are in line with what I should be doing? He's like, okay, what if we double it? And I was like, that still sounds pretty reasonable. He goes, all right, what if we double it again? And then like that got me like close to my actual day rate that I have now, which is like that one coffee shop conversation.
It really, like, that's why it's really important to have those relationships with people and to talk about that stuff, because again, as a creative person, it's hard to pinpoint what your worth is, right?
Yeah.
Like you don't know unless you're comparing it to other people that are within the same industry or not, but like who can view it from a different perspective?
Yeah.
Like, that guy could see you and he could see your worth more than you could. You know what I mean? And sometimes you need to be told what to do. Like I need that all the time too.
Well, as artists, we're not always the best business people, you know, you have to pick that up in addition to your craft, right? So
totally. I mean, I definitely have a lot of emotion with my,
me too.
You know what I mean? Like I get very empathetic, and my husband's always like, you're sharing too much. Like your email could be this big. Why is it this big? You know, like, you don't have to tell people so much. Like
they don't need to know that, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I do too. I do the draft thing where you write the draft and then you're like, I guess I don't need to say that or that. Okay.
I edit for like 3 days and then I send it.
Yeah.
I know.
We get there eventually.
Yeah, exactly. It happens. I answer my emails.
That's cool. So kind of in this vein, actually, I really hate doing my books, so I have an accountant that
does a lot of work
for me. Like, what are some people or things that you've kind of delegated to other people that might be your weak areas that like help you the most?
I mean, like the accountant for sure. I'm pretty much a control freak, so I do everything.
Wow.
But as time has gone on, now I want to just hand it over to other people. I don't want to do my website anymore. I'm like, I don't have to do it for me. I just don't need
it.
But I mean, now I have no excuse. I have so much time, so it's actually fully updated. But
Elijah's designing mine right now. So if you need somebody.
Now what you're doing, I see your eyes darting around.
Yeah, I have Elijah working on 3 websites right now. So.
Oh my God.
Let me know if you need some help.
I strongly recommend his work.
Elijah. Yeah,
that's how this.
That's my word of mouth advertising right there. There we go.
That happens, yeah.
Done. No, the accountant for sure. Because numbers are, no.
Yeah.
Even though she's a friend of mine, so we barter, which is amazing. And she's been working with me for the last 5 or 6 years. 6 years,
okay. Maybe.
But yeah, so I could probably do it on my own, but I just like having a professional do it for me and make sure that I'm not, you know, doing anything wrong or like going to get fined. And she's always very, she's always the first one to say, like, you know, you're a freelancer, you're already red flagged by the IRS. Like you have to do it. You have to be very careful with your write-offs and with your stuff. So I'm actually very conservative with my write-offs compared to a lot of other people that I know. I know people that write off literally like their manicures. I'm like, can I just write off my massages? Because I only get them because I'm working. Like when I'm working.
Exactly. Hard, makes sense to me.
Like, no, you can't do that. And I'm like, do I need an accountant?
And that's how Jen's accountant got fired. No, I have.
She only ran out of massages, so it was a deal breaker.
They always seem expensive until you have that one question that is like really important, and you need that relationship. You know, and that's. I've actually switched accountants because I just didn't like the relationship with my last one.
Yeah.
They were fine, you know, but my new accountant, he's really great. And he was a recommendation from another group of creatives that.
Well, and that's, I think the important thing too, is finding an accountant that works with creatives and with freelancers and small businesses, because
we have weird stuff different. That comes up. Right?
Yeah. It's completely different. You know, and even like during this whole COVID thing, my accountant's been fucking amazing. Like she's been like on top of PPP loans and on top of like everything. And like, she's like literally saved my butt through this. So, I think having a good accountant really is a game changer.
Yeah. And at what point in your career did you decide that an accountant was necessary?
Well, I actually had, when I was first starting out, a very good friend of mine who was a photographer, and his wife was an accountant, and she very, very generously opted to do my taxes for me.
Whoa.
He knew that I was young. I was like 20 and I was like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Absolutely. I don't know how to manage money. Like, I didn't know how to do anything. And and I still don't know how to do a lot of stuff. Still learning, but you know, so she opted to do it for me. And I had no money, but I would try to like do something nice for her, buy something nice for her. And then I shifted to my current account, who is also a friend. So again, barter.
Right.
So it's another amazing situation
that you created, though. You know, you're a likable person and people want to help you out. You know, like, that's, everyone needs something at some point. And I think, you know, that's pretty important to build those relationships too, right? You know?
Definitely. I mean, I'm all about the barter. You know, if I wish I knew how to cut hair. Because if I could cut hair, I feel like I'd have way more. Like, people don't.
Especially right now, right?
I know.
Yeah, seriously.
I know, exactly. I know. And I could cut hair with, like, just everybody could be masked. And
yeah.
Start training for the fall. Get that second bounce. Just kidding. Sorry. That's dark. Let's not let our minds go there. Oh, my God.
Get together.
Yeah. Good mental state. Good. Optimism. Everyone wear masks.
Oh my God.
That's cool. What are some, like, I guess this dovetails with this too, and this is an ongoing process for me, but what are like some of the best habits you've adapted? I mean, we talked about like saving.
Yeah, that one sounds like a really big one for sure.
Yeah, having saved
that. The big one. Just in terms of like financial stuff?
Anything. I mean, even stuff that maybe seems obvious for specifically to your profession would be good too, like whatever seems like
I feel like I already touched on negotiating, knowing your worth, saying no, putting money away. I can keep talking about, you know, I could tell you all day, building relationships and keeping those relationships with people is really important.
Do you like, we kind of touched on it earlier, but we didn't really expand on it for people that don't know. Like, what's your kit fee? What's the deal with that? How does that work with your stuff?
Usually I don't charge an additional kit fee. It's usually just kind of built into my rate. Mm-hmm. I just do a one flat rate, unless it's like a job where they're like, they have the budget and they're like, here, you can add a kit fee. And I'm like, okay, cool. You know, and then just to get like a little extra. But right now I'm implementing a kit fee because I'm adding so much more like additional stuff that I wouldn't normally have to carry around. So I'm like, okay, I need, you know, heavy disinfectants, I need more alcohol, and I need more of this. And granted, like, I was already carrying alcohol and disinfectant wipes and things like that, but now I've had to like amp it up, and I have to add for like the time and energy that I'm going to have to like implement into the additional process of actually doing the makeup and like cleaning afterwards and during, and adding more brushes to my kit so that I don't reuse anything, even if they are cleaned and disinfected in between. Like, I don't want to do that anymore. Now I want to take them home and fully cleanse them and make sure that they're totally taken care of before I, use them on another person. So it's just kind of, kit fees are ultimately, I don't know, I guess it's just to kind of cover what your kit is. I think the idea was supposed to be like your rate is for your time and your work, and then your kit fee is like to help keep up with your kit, your disposables, all that stuff. But I usually just have it built in.
Yeah. I mean, I like, I don't always have it broken out, but I, you know, the rental for my equipment is.
Yeah, you just kind of include it in your rate, yeah. I feel like. And then it's, because then otherwise you have people nitpicking and being like, well, I don't need that type of camera, Ross. So,
right.
Or we don't need that light, do we? And you're like, well, actually.
Actually, yes. Yeah, do you want to see their photos?
Build it in. Yeah.
Yeah.
It just makes more sense.
Yeah. That's good. Right. I mean, I'm sure people starting out don't even think about, like, they're like, oh, yeah, I'll do it for $50, you know, and then, like, later they need a new brush or they need a new palette or they need something, and it's just like,
yeah.
Oh,
I mean,
man.
In the beginning, you do do that because you have to.
Right.
Like, I mean, you do. You have to, unfortunately, you have to do some things for free to practice and to learn, but, yeah.
And invest in yourself a little bit, yeah.
Right. Yeah, exactly, exactly.
So what, let's we can shift from the more practical stuff to a little bit more.
Yeah, like, I don't like practicality.
Fun stuff. I'm a very practical guy, so like I tend to steer that in that direction because I also like the nuts and bolts of how things work. But like, let's talk about like what's your like ideal day on set? Like, what do you? I mean, or even just like what continue? I mean, you do this for like 14 plus years, right? So like, what keeps you in love with this? You know.
Yeah.
It may not be on set. It just might be. What do you love about it?
So my ideal work day, a lot of it revolves around really good catering.
Always. I'm all about the food.
You know,
noted.
I mean, I don't want to like be a diva, but man, there's some bad catering. Like,
yeah.
Bad. I'm these last 4 months have kind of been amazing because I'm like, oh my God, I haven't had to eat Panera. Like, I haven't. I mean,
Panera, if you want to sponsor the program, ignore that last thing.
Panera's fine. It's good. But when you eat it every day, you know, like, you know, I've been on jobs where it's like, it'll be a 2 or 3 day job and they'll Panera for lunch every day. And I'm like, are you really? Like,
yeah. Who's watching this? Someone's not watching this.
Who's in charge of this? I'm like, I should go into catering instead or,
yeah, okay. There's a place in town that sells like really good bagels, Bro Bagel, and I have clients. I get it for like almost every shoot, and
oh my
clients
God,
be so like, good. "Hey, are we getting those bagels?" I'm like, "Yes, we're getting the bagels." Like, "Oh, great, we love those. It's so good."
Getting the bagels.
I'm not saying I'm getting hired just because I arranged for them to have these bagels.
Over I'm telling you, it helps.
But yeah, it doesn't hurt. You know, it's part of the experience, right?
Right. So. No, honestly, I mean, like, I like working on a collaborative team. I like being a part of the process. I like when I sign on for a job, I like to know all the information up front. I want to know what I'm getting myself into, what I need to be prepared for. I just want to make sure that I'm completely prepared and I'm not surprised by anything. Obviously, I am prepared for any curveballs I might get thrown because that happens. But
yeah.
You know, I don't like to walk into a job blindly. I want to know how many talent, what my time frame is, like X, Y, like all that stuff. So I like to know everything up front. It just runs more smoothly, you know. I like working in like a big space. I like being able to have space to be set up. I do like having good catering and good coffee. You know, if there's like lots of veggies and like salads and things like that, like food that's going to make me feel energized, not food that's going to make me feel tired and lazy and bleh.
Yeah, grungy, exactly. Right.
It's always so funny when they're like, here's a big bowl of pasta for everybody, and everybody feels like crap afterwards because we've all just eaten pasta. But yeah, I don't know. I think just working with people that don't have an ego, working on a team that's fun and can have a sense of humor and, you know, like, we're literally trying to just sell stuff, you know. We're making an image. We're not curing cancer. We're not doctors. We're not, you know, like our jobs are ridiculous, you know. Like, you should not be crazy panicked about stuff. You know, I don't like working in a panicked environment.
Yeah, no. Definitely.
Yeah, I don't like tense stuff. I like when things get done and get done in a timely manner, but that people can be chill about it.
Oh yeah,
that makes sense.
It's always good to, like, for me as like someone that's usually working with you and directing all that and kind of keeping that going. You know, I'm not a producer, but thank goodness for producers. But
oh my god, I know.
It's like they're part of the ingredient, right? Where you try and build a like an ideal environment.
Yeah.
It's like basically having a play, right? You have this stage that you've created and you're trying to create all these circumstances, both in energy and space and whatever, to have a good result, right? You create the opportunity to have a good result. I think that's a lot of what you're speaking to. And hopefully most of my sets are like that. I haven't had any complaints because
definitely.
I don't allow complaints.
I care about these bagels, man.
You're there. You're like, you're
all that matters.
Chive cream cheese and everything bagel. Thank you.
Yeah, my go-to is everything bagel and sriracha cream cheese.
Ooh.
Oh, the sriracha cream cheese is good. I've had that.
That sounds really good.
A little coffee. Yeah.
Yeah.
Elijah, what's your bagel order? Just
plain.
So we know.
I live in New York, so I always go to the bagel place.
Kill me.
Yeah, and they look at me. I'm like plain bagel, plain cream cheese. And everyone looks at me like I'm about to murder
you. You know what, Elijah? That's my husband's order, too.
Perfect.
You
there
know
you
what?
Go.
It's always delicious.
Exactly. It's no risk taking there.
There you go. Fair enough. Well, I guess in New York, too, you know, like it's...
You don't need bells and whistles.
Yeah, exactly. It's perfect.
We do here a little bit. We don't get it right all the time.
You don't have a New York water to make
exactly.
Those
things.
That's right. That's the difference. Cool. Very cool.
I just had a question. Since you were talking about your ideal like work experience, work environment, do you remember any like ideal projects that you worked on or that you're currently working on that you're just excited about for the future that you wanted to talk about?
Yeah, I mean, there's been some very cool things that I've been fortunate enough to work on. A couple that stand out to me, well, one is actually really funny because it was kind of a miserable experience, but it was also kind of like the best experience, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So I can't tell you the client, like it never got released, unfortunately. It was like a 10-day job in the middle of winter. So it was like great because winter is usually pretty slow. And it was with body painters.
Ooh.
And I was just hired on as like a hairstylist to kind of help create the image, you know. And I kind of assisted with the body painting if they needed it. But the main painter was awful. She was just a nightmare. Nobody liked her. She was really mean. And she treated everybody horribly. And she ended up, like, leaving early. And then the other painters kind of took over. And they're, like, the nicest people. And I'm still friends with them. And I love them. But, like, the rest of the crew, aside from this one person, was... wonderful. The client was wonderful. Everyone was so fun to work with. And it was like an intense schedule because we had to sit there and watch people get painted. It was kind of amazing. Like, it was really cool. So I was like learning a ton. It was fascinating. And I was also working on set with a lot of my friends, which was cool. And it was great catering. And it was just like, even though it was kind of a stressful situation because of this one person.
Yeah.
Everyone else was like making light, trying to like smooth it over, trying to like make the best of it. And so that to me was like a really unique experience because in such a shitty situation, because of everybody else coming together, it actually ended up being a lot of fun and a more memorable experience in a better way. If that makes sense.
Sometimes when people have like that shared misery, that shared experience, they can bond together.
Yes, it does. It bonds you together. Like, so now I feel very connected to those people. It's kind of like working on a film set. Like, I don't do film because I'm just not built for it. But the last film that I did, it was like one of those experiences where it was just terrible. Like, the AD was awful. So the schedule was terrible. Like, everything was just bad. It was just kind of a nightmare experience. And
dysfunctional, right?
Yeah, it just was like not running smoothly. And it was really, really bad. But then I'm like, now me and the woman I had as my assistant, who is now, she's gone on to do all kinds of amazing things. She worked for like Chicago Chicago PD for the first few years, and she's done a ton of film work, and she's a brilliant, wonderful person. But it's like, you know, we're bonded for life through that experience, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's kind of crazy. But yeah, that was the last film I ever did. I think that was like, it actually wasn't that long ago. I think it was like 4 or 5 years ago.
Okay. What's so different about film for you?
Film and television. For me, I feel, especially television, I'm having different feelings now going through COVID, but it feels more like a day job. I think what I like about what I'm doing right now is that it's always different, and I'm always working with new people in new environments, and I don't really know what I'm walking into, which is kind of cool. I like that kind of surprise element, and I like being able to make my own schedule. Let's be real. I like being able to like work 4 days and then have like 4 days off if I want or whatever. Yeah. Granted, it doesn't always work out that way. It depends on the season.
A film is like, could be like a 6 month engagement, right?
Right. It's mostly the hours. Like TV and film can be like 12, 14, 18 hours a day.
Oh
and
my gosh.
If you're working on, you know, like Chicago PD and all that stuff, like they'll be filming outside in the winter for hours, you know, and you're out, you're all bundled and you've got all your stuff. And I'm just like, that sounds miserable. I don't want to do it.
I'm an indoor makeup artist. Thank
you. I like to be comfortable. You know, and that's not to say that there's not jobs where I'm definitely uncomfortable. Cause like sometimes I'm out on a field in the middle of the summer in 100-degree heat with no shade. You know what I mean? I'm like, I have an umbrella and a hat and a sunscreen.
Everyone's melting, right?
Yeah. You know, everyone's melting. I mean, last summer I had a couple jobs that were just, because it was just so miserably hot. And it was just, and it's like, why am I by myself? I need an assistant. Like,
yeah, all right.
That's at the least, other thing. Nobody wants to pay for assistance.
Yeah.
Drives me nuts.
Yeah. I mean, but you do them anyway, right? You get through them. And then
you're
fine.
You make it work.
With your friends. Yeah.
Yeah. You go home and you pour yourself something icy cold to drink, and then
yeah.
Next one. Yeah, it's hard. I don't know. Yeah. I don't think I could do film and TV though.
I'm very much an indoor photographer these days. Although I do like factories and stuff, but I enjoy climate control.
Yeah, I know. Well, unfortunately, like that's what happens when we get older. We get a little crotchety.
Yeah, right. But that's kind of cool that you've been able to, I mean, that's part of like what we talked about earlier, where you're like figuring out what you like and don't like. And then like, the cool part about being a creative is you can be like, no, I don't want to do that. I don't.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you don't know it until you try it. Right.
Yeah.
So it's like, I tried it a few times, and who knows, I might, you know, I know artists that never did it, weren't into it. And then later in their career, they're like, no, I want something like that. I want something more stable. I want to do more character makeup. Like, it's a totally different vibe than what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a different challenge, right?
For sure.
Cool. Very cool. That's exciting. Well, it's exciting that you're able to pick and choose, you know, for that.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Shape it the way you want it to be.
Well, pick and choose. It depends.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be choosing much in the next few months. I think I'm just going to be doing.
Yeah.
But that's okay. That's kind of cyclical, right? There's always ups and downs. I mean,
totally.
So 2006, you weathered the crash, you know, of 2008, right? And then we had, I guess this was the most recent disaster, but, you know, like before that, 2001, you know, 9/11, that was like a big one too. That took forever to recover from. I graduated high school when that happened. Yeah,
rough.
And then I graduated college during the 2008 crisis.
Oh,
and then now like two and a half years into my freelance career, we've got this thing going on. So like,
so it's you, you're the culprit.
I'm the bad luck charm, you gotta get rid of me. No, I think what I was going for, Jen, is that I'm pretty much bulletproof.
Like, actually, I'm trying to prove that I'm like really amazing.
You can survive, it's all right.
Survive. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it'll come back, right?
It will come back. I think it's just going to be different for a long time.
Yeah,
But it, you know, things will get back to normal. I don't know. I'm all normal. We'll see.
Yeah.
I think me personally, I'm kind of rethinking a lot of things too. I'm actually very much into this idea of shifting a little bit more online and providing these classes. I've been having a lot of fun with them. And
yeah, what do you enjoy most about that?
And I love seeing people connect and to like be like, oh my God, I got it. Like, oh, that's so cool. Or, oh, I didn't know that I could do that. Or, oh, I didn't know this is how it was done. Or I love seeing that kind of connection, and I love seeing people build their confidence. So for me, that's huge. I mean, if I can provide anything, I think I just, especially right now, I just felt very like I've kind of hidden in a hole the last like month. I haven't really been present on social media and stuff because of everything that's going on in the world. And it's kind of just been, I'm like, I don't want to talk about makeup and hair. Like, it's so insignificant right now. compared to everything
else. I think a lot of businesses are feeling that pressure and that pull.
There's more important stuff going on that we need to focus our energy and our attention on. And there's more that I've been doing on my own in my own time, focusing my energy on to help with this movement and to help with what I can. So that's more important to me at this time. I'm actually, so now that I've taken a few weeks working on that stuff, this month, I'm actually going to donate any classes. So anybody that purchases a group class and they want to donate it to, I have three different causes that I'm donating to: Fair Fight, which is for fair voter rights, Black Lives Matter for the Black Lives Matter movement, and then what was the last one? My Block, My Hood, My City, which is a really amazing organization here in Chicago to help with mostly underprivileged children. And
that's awesome.
So if people want to purchase a class, they can donate. They can choose to donate if they want to any of those organizations for the month of July. I did it for 1 week in June, where I donated all the proceeds to Black Lives Matter, and I had a good response and was able to give them some money, which is great because I personally can't give as much as I want to give right now. Yeah,
absolutely.
So, I'm trying to do that. I'm trying to get re-motivated and, you know, get back into the groove of things. So.
Yeah. That's really generous of you to even to be struggling and then also just kind of still want to serve the community, right? That's amazing.
Yeah, definitely.
Thanks. I feel like it's the least I could do. You know what I mean? I'm like, oh my God.
I think a lot of companies could take a page out of your book for sure.
Yeah. Thanks, Elijah. So I think it'll be cool. It'll be good. I don't know. You can edit that out.
Now that you said that, we're leaving it in. But no, I think
it's in this.
There's just a lot to unpack there, and you know, I think that's, we'll just leave it packed for this purpose of this podcast. You know, just because, you know, I struggle with this too, and like part of why we're doing this is, you know, things going on with, you know, civil unrest and Black Lives Matter right now touch every part of our lives, but there's additional problems, you know, like people have dreams and they still want to follow their dreams even during this time in COVID. Mm-hmm. And we're hoping to not leave those unaddressed as well. And
people are still trying to survive.
Yeah, right.
You know, so, like, it's also in the midst of this horrific pandemic that is destroying people's lives. It's just piled on piled and piled, you know, and everybody's really, so I think anything to put out some positivity into the world, which is also, again,
definitely,
like, you know, it feels insignificant sometimes, but it's also kind of necessary for your mental health.
Yeah. And we're a long ways away from those days of hope and change. Right. So anything we can do to bring those ideas back into the, you know, the dialogue, that's why we're here. You know?
Yeah.
And I couldn't think of anyone better to bring a little hope, a little sunshine into people's days. So I'm glad we, you know, got to talk to you today. It's really, really, really nice.
Thank you. Yeah. Thank you so much for letting me babble on forever about all kinds of stuff. I'm like, what's it like to talk to people?
I haven't seen real people forever.
It's so strange. It's so strange.
Well, so if people want to know more about these classes and maybe the donation stuff and all that stuff, where can you go to do that? And then also more about you. Like, tell me about that.
Well, if anybody wants to sign up for a group class, You can go to jenbrownmakeup.com and everything is listed on there. You also get the option to donate your class if you want to any of those organizations I mentioned earlier. And then there was something else I was going to say. It's gone.
We also have links for your YouTube, Facebook, and Instagram that we'll post as well. So
yeah, we'll put those in the show notes, everything. So if anyone has any questions about the stuff we talked about or anyone we talked about on the show, they'll be in the show notes below. You guys can check that out and, you know, get connected with Jen Brown, check out her channel, check out her Instagram, all that stuff. You know, it's really, I don't usually wear makeup. I am a little bit right now because, you know, I gotta be pretty.
But I'm so like,
I have found your channels like endlessly interesting. Your stories on Instagram. I'm like,
Thank you.
I'm learning a lot about this stuff right now. It's really cool. Yeah.
That also, makes like, me feel so happy. And honestly, Ross, I'm happy that you openly admitted that because I'm just so excited to see that more men are actually participating. And because it's not just for women, you know? And I try to stress that too with my classes. It's like,
absolutely.
For any person that wants to, it doesn't matter. Like, everybody should be able to participate. No judgments.
Yeah, I'm just trying to keep these eyes looking bright over
here.
Yeah,
we all just want to look good.
No one's cool. Yeah, that's right.
Harm.
Look good, feel cute. That's all. 100% my MO. But,
the motto. Cool.
Well, great. Well, thanks so much. And appreciate you being on the podcast.
It was great meeting you, Jen.
Thanks for sharing.
It was so nice to meet you, Ross. It was so good to see you. And I can't wait to see and meet you in person at some point.
Since recording this episode, Jen Brown has announced the option to donate the value of your ticket to a charitable organization until the end of the year. Please visit jenbrownmakeup.com for all the details. Thanks again for joining us for another episode of Creative Direction. This podcast is sponsored by Clever Editing. The difference between good content and great content is just a little clever editing. Get a quote today at www.cleverediting.com.